The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join me on the Goodyear Hotline. All right. It's draft eve. The eve of the draft. A lot of stuff going on. Adam Schefter is reporting that the Panthers are trading Teddy Bridgewater to the Broncos for a sixth-round pick, as Tom Pelissero reported. Panthers are paying Bridgewater $7 million. The Broncos are paying him $3 million per source. Now, the question is, does that take Denver out of the, you know, trade market for a quarterback? And what about the Panthers? I got to tell you, Bridgewater is one of these guys who I know. Look, I know he's not a top end starter. He's a great backup, but he is a starting quarterback. He can start for your team. Total QBR last year, it's up on ESPN Plus, is 17th. There are 32 teams in the league. You know what that means? According to QBR, he's a solid starting quarterback. You don't have to be top end. 32 teams. If you're 17, so, you know, 18, 17, 16, 15, like, that's all middle pack quarterback. But as a starter, it's, you know, you're not a 50 QBR is average. That doesn't mean you're an average starter. It means you're an average quarterback, right? That includes backups. But to be the 17th best starting quarterback, according to QBR, Bridgewater can play so much of NFL quarterbacking. And look, even since Bridgewater got drafted, I get it. It's changed. Like, you need to be a little more dynamic than Bridgewater. But Bridgewater was, he threw the prettiest spiral in college, I thought, that year. And, you know, look, you think about his career with Minnesota, and they didn't ask him to do a whole lot early on, but they gave him a little more responsibility, and he seemed to handle it. A little more he seemed to handle it, and he got hurt. And once he got hurt, And then he's no longer on the team that drafted him. The bloom is off the rose. But I don't know, when he started, he's looked pretty good to me. I think Denver just picked up a good quarterback for a song, a sixth round pick. If Teddy Bridgewater, and I get it, he's not getting paid like a first year quarterback, but if he was available in the sixth round right now, you'd do it in a second, right? If you're looking for a quarterback. That's a nice pickup for the Broncos. If it doesn't take them out of the quarterback market, though, what does that say about Drew Lock? And, you know, the guy who you're really looking at, right, who might be available for the Broncos, you think would be Trey Lance. I think that Justin Fields, some quarterback-hungry team, as Fields starts to slip and it looks like he won't be picked first, second, or third, is going to jump up and maybe looking at that Atlanta pick, unless Atlanta is in love with Kyle Pitts and thinks that he gives them such a premium over anything else they could do, they're going to draft him. I don't know about that. But the Bengals, you know, ain't taking a quarterback with Joe Burrow. That's not going to happen. And the Dolphins aren't going to take a quarterback with Tua. I think Pitts could go to either one of those two teams, although I think Sewell, like, you know, they're going to look for blindside protection for an injured quarterback in Joe Burrow. So now we're looking at the seventh pick. We're starting to look at, you know, Detroit, who has Jared Goff now, and they're paying him a lot of money, or he's being paid a lot of money. Detroit and Carolina. And, you know, you start to get to, like, a team like the Bears must be thinking, if they're willing to put all that draft capital together plus players to grab Russell Wilson, who by the standards of first year quarterback would be very expensive, right? Just in terms of not just draft compensation, but treasure to get Russell Wilson. You'd think that they would put a fraction of the draft compensation together in a package with none of the money to go grab a potential franchise quarterback. That Atlanta, and again, unless, look, if Atlanta's in love with Pitts and thinks there's nothing they can do to make their team better than drafting him, fine. But if that's not the case, and I suspect it's not, I suspect they think if they can get a haul for him, you know, any non-quarterback, then that's the pick I'm looking. That's what I'm eyeballing. I'm eyeballing that Atlanta pick at number four. This is the Max Kellerman Show coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Speaking of, yes, Raj.
No. Stop depressing. I'm about to call the 1-800 snitch hotline on the Max Kellerman Show. If I can just get that in there.
Okay, what I do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, despite being.
I picked my nose because it itched. Is this something else?
No,
oh, sorry.
I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. Despite you doing first take, you're rich, you're handsome, you got the TV show, the radio show.
Very handsome.
You do this little pre-radio show meeting just to get your, you know, get your thoughts together, Max. Yeah. You know, you kind of need it sometimes. Yeah. So we're doing a pre-radio show, and I'm talking about, you know, we later on in the show, we got some exciting Jake Paul news, you know, some Logan Paul and some Floyd Mayweather stuff. And I'm talking to you, and all of a sudden, you're having a conversation with someone else, dog. And
so listen, I have to go. I got to eat.
What's going on?
At noon, first take is over. The radio show starts at 2. I have to have lunch. So I went out to grab some lunch, and I got waylaid a little bit.
Yeah, so you're walking a little bit. Lo and behold, you put the phone down. I look, and I can see because you're on Zoom, and you put the phone down. There's a camera in front of your face.
That's right.
It's TMZ.
That's right.
TMZ stops you in the middle our pre-show production meeting with our technical leader, B, Bubba Brendan, and you're going to put the phone down and talk to TMZ.
That's right. Raj, that's when you get to a certain level, you have to avoid the paparazzi. But if they corner you, you have to treat them well.
What did they corner you about, man? Talk to me.
They wanted to talk Jake Paul and Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul and
so they So they were hearing you talk to me about that and then started asking you.
I think what happened is on my way back from the lunch spot, I had my lunch in a bag. They saw me and by the way, those TMZ dudes hustle. Like I'll talk to them because they'll stand out there for hours waiting to talk to someone to get a little clip. I respect the hustle, so I'll talk to them if I have a minute. And they, I don't think they heard me talking to you. I think that they had the cameras ready because they wanted commentary on it, and I gave it to them. So there you go.
All right.
They've been good to me too, because TMZ can clown you hard if they want to, but they've been cool. Yeah. All right. So there
we'll
it is,
be looking,
Raj.
We'll be waiting for to see your
I
appearance
can't
on TMZ.
Help it if I have to watch for the paparazzi, as you know. Very popular, very handsome. Raj. The Bucks have officially put the band, or rather, they're bringing the band back. Here's the crazy thing: all 22, they're bringing back 22 starters. And by my math, I didn't major in math, Raj, but I'm going to divide that by two and say it's 11 on offense and 11 on defense, and that just so happens to line up with exactly how many people start in football. All 22 are coming back. When has that ever happened? A Super Bowl champ brings 22 back? And here's the thing. The draft hasn't happened yet. By the way, Antonio Brown should be better for them this year than he was last year. Because he's more acclimated. More integrated into the offense. The Bucks last year had young guys on the line. They'll have played together a year, you know, another year together. Oh my God, they're going to be. Unless Brady falls off a cliff, Raj, and who would think that would happen? Unless Brady falls off a cliff.
Who would predict that? Who would
You'd have to be crazy.
Thing,
He's
Max
breaking
Kellerman.
All the longevity records. They're going to be impossible. So, AB, the interesting thing is it's a one-year contract, and it could be worth up to $6.25 million. He's guaranteed 3.1, so like half of what he could make up to. $2 million signing bonus. But AB's worth so much more than that. And the interesting thing to me is you see it in the NBA. LeBron makes a super team in Miami. Guys like Mike Miller, who could play, but they're past their prime, think, yeah, I'll sign for the vet minimum because I want to play on that team. You know, KD makes a super team in Brooklyn. Guys like Blake Griffin are like, you know what, I'm not what I once was, but let me just do a buyout and I'll sign for a lot less than maybe I could get for somewhere else because I want to play on that team. This is not exactly that. Even if Antonio Brown isn't in his prime anymore, and I'm not sure that he's not in his prime still, it's not like he had a season where I was like, boy, that guy's no good anymore. No, it was off-the-field issues. You would think at his age, maybe he slowed down a little, but when last seen on a year-in and year-out basis, he was putting up numbers that would fit comfortably in the careers of Jerry Rice and Randy Moss. You could argue he's top three all time, and you could also argue he's still in his prime. That's the thing. You're getting that for $3 million guaranteed, 6.25 if he hits every incentive. You're getting that at a huge discount. Think about the Super Bowl. Who Tom Brady throw those balls to for touchdowns, right? AB and Gronk. Know who the two best pass catchers of the era are? Arguably AB and Gronk. If you had to pick a receiver, I know Julio Jones checks all the boxes, but at their absolute best, AB is probably the most productive guy. And Gronk's the best tight end I've ever seen. I mean, I get it, Tony Gonzalez and this one and that one. If I had to take a tight end, I'm taking Gronk. So those are the guys catching passes in the Super Bowl. Not only are they the best in the conversation for best ever at their position, understand, Tom Brady, it's about trust, right? He like establishes, he trusts like an Edelman. He trusts Gronk. So now he has Gronk. He trusts him, and Gronk is still excellent. And Edelman is now Antonio Brown? The guy he trusts now, like Edelman, is Antonio Brown? Oof, it's going to be a problem. Not to mention Mike Evans and Godwin. This is going to be a problem. Jordan Schultz. It is time to Mike Jordan. Jordan Schultz, the ESPN NFL and NBA analyst here on the Max Kellerman Show. What's up, Jordan?
I can't help but laugh because I was actually, I spent quite a bit of time with Elvin this week. And I asked him about...
Wait a minute, Jordan. You're breaking up. Jordan, you're breaking up. I know you're the contributor on the Daily Wager and the boardroom, and yet you should have sophisticated telecommunications devices, and yet we're getting no signal. Where are you, Jordan? Jordan's calling from an elevator or a basement or a garage or something.
No good, huh?
Jordan? All right, hold on. Raj, put Jordan on hold and get this issue fixed immediately.
Yes.
You know, it's unbelievable, this scam that the cell phone companies have going. It's the only service where it's like, yeah, it works sometimes. Here, pay this bill, and sometimes you can make a call. A lot of times you won't be able to. Really? But I'm standing here. Yeah, but we just lost signal. Well, what? Find the signal. What do you mean lost signal? Imagine you're driving your car and like you try to take a left turn and it won't turn. Yeah, well, sometimes it doesn't turn. Well, could it turn every time? I don't know. I had a lot of things to talk to Jordan Schultz about. How the 49ers and Falcons can shake up this draft is, by the way, who is the best player in the draft? I know quarterbacks, you weigh them heavily because the position's more valuable. But for their position, is Trevor Lawrence better than Kyle Pitts? Will Aaron Rodgers, will he finally have a draft where coming out of the draft you go, yep, they didn't waste any picks on the future. Everything that they got Aaron Rodgers is for the present. By the way, I don't care if it's not on offense. Rodgers has an excellent receiving core and a great lead receiver. He's got excellent backs. He's got everything he needs to pass to. Now, if you give him another weapon, that's great. But I mean, are they improving the team? Both sides of the ball. They could use a little help on the offensive line right now, actually. Right? Or is it for the future again? Okay, Jordan Schultz. It's time to Mike Jordan now. Jordan, are you there?
I got you, but I'm sorry about that. It's embarrassing. But what I was going to say, Max,
phone company should be embarrassed. Go ahead.
I spent some time with Edelman this week, and I asked him about gaining Brady's trust. And you mentioned Antonio Brown and Gronk and Evans and Godwin. He said that, you know, for Tom to really trust you in a game, you got to do it in practice over and over again. And so hearing that story and then comparing that to Antonio Brown and all these guys in Tampa, it's endless. He's just getting started there. They're just going to get better.
Right, when you think about, like, well, why does Brady like Antonio Brown so much? Obviously, the production's there. But AB is not like Julio Jones, the perfect receiver with size and everything. AB is a guy whose work ethic is legend, right? It's like Jerry Rice. Like, oh, my God, the guy's working. And his personality wouldn't make you think that. You're like, oh, he's a diva. You know, that's the kind of personality he thinks he can do it on talent. Nah, AB is known as a worker, and I think that's why he and Tom Brady seem to get along.
Late round pick out of the MAC, just like Julian Edelman. Same deal, except Antonio Brown is an all-timer.
Right. Antonio Brown, I mean, listen, I always thought with my eyeballs were on them that Odell is better. I think certainly if you check all the boxes, including personality, size, everything, you take Julio Jones. But in terms of production, The only two receivers I can think, and by the way, I think this includes Calvin Johnson and everyone. I'd have to look it up, but the ones who have had sustained primes where you're like, oh my God, year after year, there's Jerry Rice, he's the best ever. There's Randy Moss, and Antonio Brown to me is like in that category where you go, oh my God, look at the quality of that guy's prime.
100%. I mean, you could add T.O., Marvin Harrison.
Yeah.
You know, there's, but the sustained success and dominance, that's the separator.
How can the 49ers and Falcons shake up the draft tonight, George?
Well, I think Atlanta is in such an interesting position because, honestly, they believe that they're not far away. Like, they think that if they draft a really good player that can help them right away, that they're now going to be in contention in the NFC South and potentially to win a ring.
I mean, Jordan, I have bad news for them.
Yeah, I know, but they believe that Arthur Smith is going to take Matt Ryan back to Kyle Shanahan, Matt Ryan. And as a result, they have this dilemma of, do we draft a quarterback, the successor to Matt Ryan, who's probably going to be a Hall of Famer, at least in consideration at 36, or do we try to win now? And that's why Atlanta, to me, in many ways, really starts the draft.
Do you know why I think if that is actually what's happening, they're going to take Pitts or the best available player? Is because if they're wrong, they'll be drafting up high again. They'll take a quarterback then, right?
Sure.
Like, especially
sure.
if you're drafting fourth and 1, 2, and 3 are gone. So, you know, you'll have another shot at this thing, or maybe 1, 2, and 3 aren't gone if they're wrong. So it seems to me that maybe if they don't trade out of the pick, that Pitts would be gone, which would also shake up the draft, right? Because that means
100%.
At five, Cincinnati would take the offensive tackle.
Maybe
and then who do the Dolphins take?
For Burrow.
Right. And then who do the Dolphins take?
The Dolphins, I think the Dolphins would take a receiver. So whether it's Devontae Smith or maybe it's Waddle or if Chase is there, I think they're going to take a receiver. I don't think they're moving. But what's interesting, too, about Atlanta is that they have this new regime. And I've had these conversations with Thomas Dimitroff, who was a GM for a long time there, took him to the Super Bowl. And he said the one thing about Arthur Blank is that he will stay out of your way. So they have this new regime with full trust, and they can do whatever they want. There's no pressure from up top. So as a result, that would lend me to believe that they're going to probably take a quarterback because they don't feel the pressure to win now. But at the same time, if there's a lot of people in that building which believe they're close, and that's what I've been told, then there's going to be pressure on that end. So again, Atlanta, a really tough position to be in.
Jordan Schultz of the Schultz Report on this show, we Mike Jordan. Joins me on the Goodyear Hotline, ESPN NFL NBA insider and analyst. Jordan, I was going to ask you about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, but I want to get something else because I'm a Giants fan, so I mainly care about talking to people about the team I like. I look at the Giants and who, you know, Surtain's likely to be a Cowboy, you'd think. And to me, what the Giants are really missing on defense is an edge rusher. But short, like a linebacker, a defensive end, not one of these competent defensive players that they have who can play in the middle or play all over the line, but a guy who can go kill the quarterback. Now, Parsons, Micah Parsons from Notre Dame is not I meant Penn State. That's a number, like, you know, Saquon Barkley country. Parsons is not an edge rusher, and he's really good against the run, but he's also quick to the quarterback. So even if it's not an exact fit, it would be getting back to this tradition of Giants linebackers. And so what am I asking? Is he the best available player at 11 if Surtain's gone?
Well, there's a lot of debate that J.C. Horn is in the same level or better potentially than Surtain, and that Farley, who I love from Virginia Tech, is going to slide a little bit more because of the injury. So if you're the Giants and you believe that you need a corner, to take Horn at 11 is a home run pick. I don't think Surtain is going to be there. I think he's going to go to Dallas. So if you're the Giants, to me, there's really two positions to look at. You need to look at either offensive line, which is probably going to be Rashawn Slater or Vera Tucker.
Every year they screw up the offensive line. Every year they waste a high draft pick by getting it wrong, you know?
Or you could go defense, and then kind of the, okay, well, home run play is to get a receiver if Devontae Smith were to be there. So let me ask you this, Max. If you're a Giant fan, were you happy last year with Andrew Thomas? I thought he had a pretty good year.
I thought he had a pretty good year, but they it seemed like a reach when they drafted him. It seemed like the other teams had offensive linemen ranked higher, and that
right.
you could have used a later pick on a guy maybe comparable to Thomas. But and
so the reason,
Thomas came on as the year went along, but the line was no
better,
good again.
Yeah. But the reason they did that was because Gettleman wanted a high floor guy, and they thought Thomas was at the very least a double. He might not be a home run, but he'll be a double. So now maybe you get, you know, if or Darisaw's another guy from Virginia Tech. I mean, these are the guys that are going to be
Jordan,
there. It's a very good top of the line.
Before I let you
line
go,
class.
Yeah. Before I let you go, Parsons comes with some issues. Like some people had said,
there have
been
the
red flags
yep.
off the field. Yep. How much do you think that would dissuade the Giants?
Zero, because everybody that you talk to that has spoken with people around the Penn State program, whether it's players, coaches, executives, all sign off on Parsons. They mm-hmm. say he's moved past this. It was just a blip and an otherwise high-character guy, so mm-hmm. I don't think that's an issue at all for Gettleman.
Okay, now before I let you go, I lied. Before I let you go, let's get to Aaron Rodgers. They draft Jordan Love. Who you know?
Right.
But Rodgers seems to have a lot left in the tank. Just had his best MVP season. He won the MVP. Is this the year they finally stop drafting
yes.
for the future and draft for the now?
Yes.
So what does
yes.
that mean?
And I think it's either going to be they have to take a receiver in the first round. They have to. Mm-hmm. They didn't do it last year when they should have. Now maybe it's Rashad Bateman or Elijah Moore from Minnesota or Ole Miss. But those are the two guys I would highlight. Maybe Dyami Brown from North Carolina. One of these two or three guys. They have to do it. They know it. And if they don't, I'd be stunned.
Really? A receiver? I just think they have to start drafting for right now, whichever side of the ball.
Yeah, but a receiver,
offensive
takes,
line.
How much will that help Adams, and how much will that help Rodgers? It would
yeah.
help them a lot.
They could use one more impact receiver. I'm not saying no, but they kind of
have
a pretty
good core. They love
Tanyan.
They're tight end. He's solid.
Yep.
You know, yep. MVS is solid, but they need another receiver, another big playmaker.
It seems like nowadays you can't have enough of them anyway. Jordan Schultz, ladies and gentlemen. There it is. We had a few technical difficulties to start because cell phone service still, after all these years, is completely unreliable. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit Progressive.com and hear what Jake Paul says he can do better than 99% of MMA fighters. Do you hear my computer career ads and think, I don't know anything about computers? You don't have to. Before starting, many graduates could turn a computer on and off, and that's it. Now they're IT pros, and you could do it too. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. You could start your new life in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It ain't rocket science. It's My Computer Career. Jake Paul trolling MMA fighters again?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Jake Paul is at it again. Just had him on Max Unboxing last Friday. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Ooh, boxing people were mad. I knew they would be. Don't legitimize Jake Paul, da-da-da-da. Oh, everyone shut up. Like, I'm not calling him a contender. He is boxing. He is doing it professionally. He hasn't fought another real professional boxer yet, but he's a novice. And he has a lot of people interested in watching him. So then the only question I have after that is he taking it seriously? Not preparing his opponent. He's not responsible for whether or not Nate Robinson trains or whoever shows up in shape. Is he taking it seriously in terms of his own preparation? The answer is yes. I respect that. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Jake Paul tells Ariel Helwani, who's been on the show twice recently, he's a better striker than 99.9. Should have had some Ali G clip ready. 9.999999. No, you don't know what I'm going to say yet. 98899. 99.9% of MMA fighters, better striker than them. And he challenged Kamaru Usman to a boxing match. Now, well, he keeps challenging MMA fighters. Right, because Jake Paul knows he has to make big events. He wants to get paid. He's a big deal on social media. So he wants to make big events. I don't fault him for that. But in order to make a big event, you need to fight someone that the public knows. That's why famous people are now doing this. It's like Dances with the Stars, you know? But he's progressed now enough in his boxing, Jake Paul, that he can't just fight some famous person who doesn't box. So how do you find someone who's credible to make a match with who the public knows but doesn't have an overwhelming experience advantage in boxing. How do you find that person to box with? Well, you go to MMA because they're credible fighters, but they usually don't have very deep boxing skills. There's just too much to, you have to be really good at in MMA to focus that much just on striking, you know, even if you are a striker by MMA standards. And by the way, most of the issue with MMA strikers is not that they need to refine their technique striking. It's that they need to get better defensively. They need to move their heads offline and get, you know, and move their feet. They have to be more fluid with it, with their defense. That's usually what separates a good MMA striker from a solid boxer. At any rate, it's kind of brilliant, really. I need a fighter. I need the guy to be credible in fighting circles. I need to be able to make a big event with him. And I don't want to get myself beaten right away by a guy because he has so much more experience than me. How do you do that? Voila. Presto changeo, whatever you want to say. Fight an MMA guy. Public knows him. He's credible fighting. And he doesn't have a huge experience advantage boxing. It's smart. It's kind of brilliant, really. And I got to tell you something else about Jake Paul. He's facing off with Daniel Cormier, challenging him to box. And the thing about Jake Paul is, we've seen it. He will get in the ring. Usman? I don't know. Like, if Jake Paul should box someone like, and by the way, from the MMA fighter, Usman or Cormier or someone like that point of view, they'd love to fight Jake Paul. Number one, they can make a lot of money doing it. Because one of the reasons MMA is so popular in this country is Dana White saw, I talked to him about this for decades now, but Dana White saw all the mistakes made in boxing because he was a boxing fan. And he's like, okay, I'd like to avoid those mistakes because we start with a clean slate with MMA because there's no real culture established in the United States yet. So we can do that now when Zuffa bought the UFC early in the UFC's history. Right? We can establish our own culture. And one of the things, and a lot of fighters complain about it with the UFC, is you control labor costs. So you're under contract to the promotional company, Ultimate Fighting Championship. And it's not like boxing, where basically every fight is a one-off, where you're just trying to make as big an event as possible, and the fighters can try to generate as much revenue as they can per fight. But there's no real central authority making long-term plans, right? Dana White is a central authority in the sport of MMA, head of the UFC, who's able to make long-term plans, who's not subject just to market forces. And also, they've controlled labor costs, which is why it's so profitable, which has helped them blow up, right? So when you fight a UFC fighter outside of the UFC, the fighter likes it because they can make more money, and they're sort of trading on the fact that being part of the UFC has blown them up on the in the first place. Now they're taking that equity they've developed and stacked up, and they're using it to generate extra revenue outside of that promotional banner. I don't know if that's too inside baseball for everyone, but that's why UFC fighters like these fights with Jake Paul. And meantime, just remember, everyone, if Jake Paul should fight Usman or Cormier and somehow win striking, and I don't think he will, do you know what everyone's going to say afterward? They're not boxers. They'll complain. Dude, remember what you were thinking right now. Rod, you think Jake Paul can beat Usman in a boxing match, or do you think he could beat Cormier in a boxing match?
Man, I know more about Cormier, and I think he's more of a true boxer. Usman has the power. I don't think he can beat Cormier in a boxing match because I believe in the sweet science, and I think Cormier has more of that. But, man, I want to watch them both. But Usman's power is scary.
Like, yeah, I don't think he could beat Usman either based on what I've seen recently.
Usman's power just takes one clip, and he's
But the
done,
fact is, these are guys who fight for a living, and he's willing to challenge them. So I'm not trying to hear, well, they're not boxers. Neither is he, really. He's a YouTube guy who's starting out boxing. And the fact that they can make this size event or these size events, instead of the boxing establishment being hostile to it or MMA being hostile to it, because MMA now is where boxing was, you know, vis-a-vis the Jake Paul and Logan Paul, and these YouTubers are now fighting. Instead of being hostile toward them, embrace it I was preaching this to boxing people for decades now. Why the hostility toward the UFC? They're turning on a new generation of people who would not otherwise be combat sports fans onto combat sports in an organized way. Use that as an introduction to boxing. Don't get turned off and then turn off those new fans. Bring them into the fold in boxing. Say, you like the UFC? Great, so do we. We like fighting. Maybe you should try check us out. You know, instead of that, instead of being hostile to it. So I'm saying this to boxing people and to MMA people. Instead of being hostile to Paul, Jake Paul and Logan Paul, you should be happy that they're getting people interested in watching fights. Because the UFC and boxing as an industry has a lot of great fights to watch. Have a lot of great fights to watch. Before the grammar police get me. Although I think I am the grammar police on this show. Hear what LeBron could do for someone I work with to consider him the GOAT over Michael Jordan. Baseball's back, and so are your favorite teams and players. Catch the best of the bigs all season on ESPN Plus with over 170 live MLB games featuring every star and every team in the league. Sign up now at ESPNPlus.com/baseball.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Could LeBron become the GOAT this season? Could he have the people who are telling you it's Michael Jordan, which is still the majority, say, all right, we got to give it up? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I ask because, well, first let me tell you, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. I'd also like to be able to pronounce my name. It's the Max Kellerman Show, in case anyone's wondering. Is presented by Progressive Insurance. It is on ESPN Radio. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit Progressive.com. Can LeBron finally pass Michael Jordan? If LeBron wins another title with the Lakers, after going through a fully loaded Clippers and fully loaded Nets team, is he the GOAT over Jordan? Because Stephen A. said on First Take a couple days ago, I'd have to bow down to the king. And I'll say this. He wouldn't just have to go through a fully loaded Clippers team. He'd have to go through, most likely, a fully loaded Clippers team, Suns team, and Jazz team before going through a fully loaded Nets team. But to be honest, if he went through a fully loaded Nets team alone, he would have beaten the two greatest non-Bulls super teams ever assembled. The Warriors, before they got KD. I mean, after they got KD, it's too much to ask him to go through them. And then this Nets team. This year he's putting up, you can see it on ESPN Plus right now, 25.5 points, 8 boards, 8 assists, and he's shooting over 50% from the field. And also, it's interesting because we're talking about Dr. J's all-time, you know, all-first team, all-second team, how LeBron's not on it. And I'm saying the only two players who must be on every all-first team, everyone, for them to be credible is Jordan and LeBron. Those two guys have to be on it. One of the issues, though, when you're actually constructing a team like who would win, you put Jordan and LeBron on the same team, but though they both could shoot at their best, they're not pure shooters. So you go, uh-oh, and then you have Magic at the point. You go, you have three guys who can't shoot. Now you have to try and find your shooting from your power forward and your center. Well, that doesn't work, right? I have a solution. Play LeBron at point guard. I think Magic's off the all-time team because of LeBron. You play LeBron at point guard and Jordan at the two. And now you have, you could play Bird at the four who could shoot, obviously. And then you could put KD at the three. Now you have four positions that can shoot. Two of them can shoot the lights out. And then you go grab a center, whoever you want. Take Hakeem, probably. One of these, it's too much of an evergreen for a day like this, you know, draft eve in the NFL. But one of these days, I want to hear people's all-time teams. Not who you think is the greatest, but like construct the team that would beat all the other teams. See what I mean? Like maybe you take Tim Duncan at the five because of the passing also in the defense. Olajuwon got to be a good passer, but it wasn't until later in his career. Rob in Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Boobies.
Oh, interesting. What else, Raj? Rob?
That's it.
That's all you got?
Just boobies.
You call up a radio show just to say that on the air. And that's all you got. You got nothing. You got nothing else. You emptied your clip. All right. If I was going to prank a radio show, I'd come loaded with a little more than that. Rob in Virginia, I want you to go back. I want you to sit and think of a much, much better prank than that. If you're going to start out with that, you have to have a follow-up. That's got to just set me up for something funny. I mean, listen, that is kind of funny. It is kind of funny. I admit, just to say that, it's like a silly thing to say. But you got to follow. Yeah, that's it. That's all you had.
Well, if I'm going to sit on hold for almost an hour to call a show, I'm going to come up with a better prank than some Beavis and Butthead type.
Well, except prank. What you just said makes it funnier. If you're waiting an hour just to say that, that actually makes it funnier to me. Andre in Massachusetts, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, thanks for taking the call. Yeah. No prank because there's nothing funny in New England where I'm calling from. The fact that the Broncos scooped up Teddy Bridgewater, Max, that means the Patriots have to go up and get one of these top five quarterbacks. It has to happen because he was the one backup, the one stopgap that we could have had to play behind Cam Newton if we weren't going to, again, go ahead and get Justin Fields, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, or whoever. So the Broncos made a power move in my viewpoint, and Belichick is going to have to go out of character and really go big or go home on the draft. We can't have the conservative Patriots way approach. That's what we had this season, and we know how that turned out.
I wouldn't be that bent out of shape over Teddy Bridgewater. I think that I like Teddy Bridgewater. As I said, I think he's a solid starting quarterback. That's a good thing to be. You know, if Daniel Jones could be that this year, that'd be good. If Sam Darnold could be that, like a lot of the guys coming out of this draft. You know, if Mac Jones turns out to be a solid starting quarterback, he's succeeded to a degree, right? But, Cam has a chance to be better than that. He's already won an MVP, Cam Newton. And he just won 7 games, came 2 plays away from winning 9 games, coming off a catastrophic injury, no preseason, brand new team, brand new system, facility shut down for COVID. He had COVID, came 2 plays away from a 9-win season. And as it was, won 7 games with a slew of wins against quality teams. I'm expecting big things from Cam this year, actually. I'd rather have Cam as my quarterback this upcoming year than Bridgewater, although I understand what you mean about quarterback depth. Patriots going to have to draft someone eventually. Are we overvaluing these quarterbacks in the draft? Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.